The Boston Celtics lose to the New Orleans Pelicans, and Marcus Smart is just off. We're going to talk about it on a Tuesday Lockdown Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing at this very moment, I want to say thank you for including this podcast. I'm John Corrales. I host this show Monday through Friday. So if you're a new listener, you're going to get this show on a daily basis. That's how we roll here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I cover the team for the Boston Sports Journal. Let me spit that out. Boston Sports Journal. You can subscribe to Boston Sports Journal with the promo code Corrales. You're going to get $5 off. So the annual subscription works out to be about $3 a month. That's not a bad deal, I think, for all of Boston sports and my Boston Celtics coverage. I am also the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book now available at online booksellers everywhere. I'm also doing a virtual book signing on April 29th. Stay tuned to my social channels for details on that. In this game against the New Orleans Pelicans, by the way, which they lost 115-109, Jason Tatum had 34 points in this game to lead the Celtics, 23 points for Kemba Walker, and then 15 for Marcus Smart. Off the bench, Peyton Pritchard had 11. Luke Kornet had 10. Those are your double-digit scorers. Leading rebounder is Robert Williams. He was also tied with Jason Tatum for leading assist guy with 5 apiece for Tatum and Robert Williams. The Pelicans led by Zion, who for a while the Celtics were doing a good job keeping him to like just a normal good game. And then he had a couple of dominant stretches where it was just like, all right, well, this is Zion. Welcome to the show. But I thought the Celtics for a while were kind of there. Josh Hart, he had some huge numbers off the bench. 15 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists for them. Celtics came out strong. Tatum came out strong. He had 16 points in the first quarter. But They never were able to really stop the Pelicans. And it wasn't that they were bad on defense. This wasn't one of those bad defensive games. I thought they played with good energy defensively. But the Pelicans just got hot and stayed hot. I was waiting for them to cool off, and they just never did. They shot 50% from the field. 51.6% from three. Oddly, 56.5% from the line, 17 of 30. So this could have been worse. And it's funny how this adds up. Okay, so Steven Adams was 0 for 4. You can throw that out. And even 17 for 26 is not great. But, you know, Brandon Ingram goes 8 for 11. Zion goes 6 for 9. A couple other guys, you know, miss a couple. You know, it just adds up. Celtics could have gone a lot worse for them, but they couldn't hit a shot. 14 of 43 from three. This was another 40-plus three-point attempt night, and I thought a few more of these were a little early, a little forced. The Celtics shot 43% overall. So they seemed to be within reach. I mean, they were within reach for most of this. Then in the third quarter, that weird jump ball thing happened, and the game just fell apart. I'll talk about that weird jump ball thing as I go through the good in the first segment, the bad in the second segment, and then in the third segment, what's up with Marcus Smart? What is going on with Marcus Smart? I have some thoughts. In the good, let me start with this. Before I get into the good, a sneaky turning point in this. Early third quarter, Jason Tatum trips coming off of a screen, and a ref calls a foul on Brandon Ingram, tripping Jason Tatum. Looked like real time he might have tripped Jason Tatum. Van Gundy challenges the call because it would have been Brandon Ingram's third foul. Turns out that Tatum kind of just tripped over Grant Williams' feet, so it wasn't a foul. Maybe a minute later, 2 minutes later, Ingram commits another foul. Now, who knows how things would have gone, but let's assume that he commits that foul. If Van Gundy didn't challenge, if he said, "Oh, it's too early for me to challenge something like this," I'm gonna hold on to it even though it's a bad call. If he had decided that, which a lot of coaches do decide that, then Brandon Ingram would have had to go to the bench with four fouls early in the third quarter. You couldn't risk him getting a fifth that soon. So the entire third quarter, where Ingram had 10 points, changes dramatically. Like, so much of this changes. And who knows how it goes, but with Brandon Ingram on the bench, it would have been a much different story. Now, of course, maybe Zion just goes berserk and it doesn't matter anyway. Like, we go down this alternate timeline and we play that out, and Ingram gets that fourth foul, and Zion just says, "You know what? It's Zion time. It's smashing time." And Celtics lose by 30. Like, it could have gone that way. But considering that Ingram was, you know, had a good game, 25 points. Like I said, 10 points in that third quarter. He had 9 assists. He hit 3 of 5 from 3. It's possible the Celtics, you know, the whole complexion of this game changes. All right, back to the good. Jason Tatum in the first and fourth quarter was awesome. That second and third quarter, he didn't do anything. But in the first quarter, 16 points. Fourth quarter, 14 points. Big time close, big time start to the game. He finished with 34 points. So in between the first and fourth quarters, he only scored 4 points, which I don't want to put everything on Tatum, but that he settles for too many fadeaway, avoid contact shots. Go through his second and third quarter shots. So many of them are just trying to finesse his way around defenders. And it's he needs to break that habit. He needs to break that habit. But in the first quarter, it was awesome. He had a hand in the first 21 points of the game for the Celtics. 16 points, and then an assist on a three, and an assist on a lob to Robert Williams. But not enough there in the fourth quarter. Kemba Walker was also good in this. I thought he had a nice, steady game. He didn't shoot particularly great. 8 of 18, 2 of 9 from 3, but 5 of 5 from the line. Finished with 23 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. He had a nice, steady, decent game. Hit some big shots in the third quarter. The Celtics came back. They took a lead in the third quarter. It looked like they were rolling. That third quarter was going pretty well. I'm going to talk about when it fell apart in the next segment, but Kemba was there hitting big shots in the third quarter, hitting an important shot in the fourth quarter. So I thought Kemba, it kind of sucks that you waste a 34-point game and a nice Kemba game, but so be it. That's where we are. Peyton Pritchard had a decent game. Like I said, he had 11 off of the bench. Hit a couple of shots early that I thought were key in keeping the Celtics close when the Pelicans were just kind of trying to pull away. Pritchard kind of kept things close. Same with Luke Kornet. He hit some shots in the first half. Both of them were 4 of 6. Kornet hit 2 of 4 from 3. Pritchard hit 3 of 4 from 3. And they both, I think, did a good job. It's funny that Pritchard had 5 rebounds to Kornet's 4, and Kornet had 2 assists to Pritchard's 0. So bizarro stat line there. But nice job from both of those guys off of the bench. That's kind of where the good ends. Robert Williams was good in this game. He 7 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. The passing, I wrote about Robert Williams. I'll probably talk about Robert Williams tomorrow. A little bit more in depth about Robert Williams tomorrow, because I'm very curious about his role. It seems like we've got two different Robert Williams starter Rob and bench Rob. And I think that I want to discuss it, but cramming it into this podcast, I don't want to do that. I want to have a deeper conversation about starter Rob and bench Rob. But he had one great assist. The assist to Kemba in the corner, high pick and roll for Jason Tatum. They blitz Tatum up along the baseline, up near the half court line. Robert Williams presents himself in an area where Tatum can see him, gets him the ball, and Rob takes one good dribble and collapses the defense, gets it into the paint, kicks it over to Kemba Walker in the corner. It was a beautiful play, an elite play, because he sets that pick, he gets that ball, makes a quick decision, decisive, strong. The kick was almost perfect. Like, the only thing that would have been more perfect is if the pass was just 6 inches to the right. And that's you got a nitpick like that to break down this play. That's how great it was. I thought it was just an elite type of play. To get that kind of play out of your center is awesome. And so I thought he did make some nice plays around on the perimeter, got guys open, and did a good job. The bad is next, and that's going to – I haven't talked about Evan Fournier yet, and there's a reason for that. So I'm going to be talking about that when we get into the bad next. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I will be hosting rooms for Locked On, part of the Locked On move towards Locker Room there. I'll be doing it once a week, hosting a Locked On Celtics show. You can join in the conversation. You can raise your hand, and I will bring you in, and you can ask me questions directly on the app. So check it out. Download it on the iOS. It's only available on iOS right now. So download it. Sign up. Join me at John Corrales. You link your Twitter. You create a profile. You join in the NBA group. You get the latest updates. You follow me at John Corrales. You'll be notified when my room goes live. You don't want to miss it. We've had a couple of really good conversations. I go for about an hour or so and really try to get as many conversations in as I can. So it's really sports talk radio in your pocket that you can join in. You don't have to wait on hold for an hour to join in. So make sure you join me. I'll be hosting a show this week, either Thursday or Friday. So if you're following me on the app, you'll find out when I'm hosting the show. So download Locker Room and join me at John Corrales. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics on Twitter and Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Get all of the sports news you need in less than 20 minutes. How? By subscribing to Locked On Today. Peter Bukowski gets you updated on all the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. So follow Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Now to the bad from this loss to the New Orleans Pelicans. I want to start with the fans, because there were about 2,300 fans in the building, and it was great to hear. It was great to see. They sounded loud. I think there was a little bit of accompaniment from the artificial fan noise, but really they had a nice "Let's Go Celtics" chant going on early in the game. Through, 2,300 fans in unison sound loud. It's not 19,000, but it's still loud. I thought they did a great job. So kudos to the fans, but why are you in the bad? Because I feel bad that you didn't get a win. And as the game kind of wore on, it became obvious. Like, fans were like, "Oh God, we don't have it. We don't have it in us to carry you guys." And this is where the capacity thing does come into play, because it's harder for 3,000 fans. Like, Everybody's got to be into it. You know, there were some chants in the upper parts of the arena that just could not get going, because for a lot of these chants, a lot of these things that happen in unison, those 2,000 people would normally be in like a few sections, and that would start the fire and it would carry on. Could just never get that started for most of the night, but shouts to the fans. Too bad you couldn't get that win. All right, also bad, Evan Fournier was an 0-for. 0-for-10 in this game, 0-for-5 from three. He had a couple of bad air balls. He had a couple of shots that went, you know, in and out. Maybe the closest shot that he took was the half-court heave. That almost went in. It would have been amazing if his first and only basket of the night was that half-court heave. But rough night for Evan Fournier. But in his defense, I mean, he missed the game in OKC. He flew to OKC, and they told him he had a positive COVID test. So he ended up having to go back to Boston, and he got another test, which was negative, and then another test, which was negative. And they said, well, it's probably a false positive. So, oh, okay. And so he went from Orlando to OKC, back to Boston. And I guess the first hint of something was off was when Brad Stevens says, yeah, he's back in Boston getting his physical. But the other guys, Wagner and Cornette, were able to get their physicals in Milwaukee. I think they were both available in Milwaukee. So it was weird that why would Evan Fournier be in Boston to get his physical? Well, that's why, because he wasn't getting a physical, because he was about to walk into the health and safety protocol. That was why. So he had that. Getting into a new team, you know, he's isolated now all of a sudden, so he still doesn't have full access to everything. And then finally he gets out of it and he gets the play, but obviously we're going to cut him a pass because Evan Fournier is better than 0-for-10 and 0-for-5 from three. But the Celtics struggled with like Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, who started, Evan Fournier, who played almost 33 minutes, 32 and a half minutes off the bench. They really struggled. And then, you know, Robert Williams only gives them 7 points. Not that Rob's going to be a big scorer, but in this role as a starter, he's not going to be as big a scorer. So far, the numbers are limited, but Robert Williams is more passer as a starter. So your scoring came from Kemba, Tatum, and Smart, who was 0-for-6 from three. But that 0 from Fournier, really, I don't know what would have happened. I'm not saying the Celtics would have won. I know they lost by 6. So if he scores 15, you could say, oh, 15 is bigger than 6. They would have won the game. I don't know how the game would have gone if he had hit a couple of those shots, but it still would have been nice to have him hit a couple of those shots. Like I said, Grant Williams, who is having a rough year overall. I mean, normally he's out there, he's doing the little things, and he's struggled with a little bit of a bigger role. 3 points, 1-of-4 from three. Those were the only shots that he took. 5 rebounds and assist. The 1-3, if I recall correctly, was timely, but Grant just, I think they went with Grant because, well, first of all, they had no other choices because Mo Wagner played 4 minutes and wasn't great. Still obviously catching on. Luke Cornette played 13 minutes, but didn't play much in the second half. They went with Grant as a strong, kind of stout guy up against Zion. And Grant wasn't really great in this game. So tough one. Tough season for Grant Williams. Tough season for a lot of guys. And that leads me to Marcus Smart, who in this game, 6 of 15, so 40% shooting, 0 of 6 from 3. That's problematic. Only 3 assists. So 15 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, a couple of blocks, no steals. So there were multiple times in this game where Marcus Smart was he needed reassurance. He was getting pep talks on the bench in from Kemba Walker, all of that. He just didn't look like himself. He did not look like himself. And of course, online there's plenty of Marcus Smart slander, but having seen him, I have some thoughts. I have some thoughts on what Marcus Smart is looking like. But I will just say that it was bad. It was bad, bad, bad. Except for a few moments where it was good. But I'll run down. I'll save Marcus Smart for the next segment because it's a lot. Today's show is brought to you also by BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Bet on the NBA, about 25 games left in the regular season, still plenty to bet on. College basketball, obviously the tournament is starting to wind down, but plenty of opportunities there. NHL, baseball is coming back. Don't feel like betting on sports? BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. With real-time updated odds and props on just about anything that you can imagine. Head on over to the website. Use your mobile device, however you want to do it. Sign up today, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. So whatever you deposit, $200, they're going to give you a 50% of that welcome bonus. So $100 in that scenario for your welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, they've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place and the best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Built Bar has their Built Bar Madness going on right now, and we are now getting down to the nitty-gritty because we're to the Flavorful Four. Okay, they've whittled it down from their initial bracket down to four. Coconut brownie chunk versus mint brownie. Cookies and cream versus cookie dough chunk. Those are your two matchups. So if you're going to go to builtbar.com, cookie dough chunk versus cookies and cream is the first of the Flavorful Four that you can bet on. I got my money on the cookie dough because everything cookie dough is awesome. I remember when I was in college and I could do such things, just crushing those things of cookie dough, just grab them raw. Oh my God. Probably not a good idea. Probably a bad idea even. But I was young and happy and running like crazy. I could eat that stuff. If I did that now, I might die. But unlike grabbing a stick of raw cookie dough, the cookie dough chunk is actually good for you because it's low calorie, low carbs, high protein, high fiber. It's an amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate, but good for you. It's healthy. It's an option that you can have instead of reaching for that glob of cookie dough. All of these are great. These flavors are great. So check them out. Go to builtbar.com or bar_built on Twitter. When you're at builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. And check back. See who won today's matchup and who will be the best tasting protein bar.
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts or follow us on Spotify.
Now that the trade deadline is gone, your focus now turns to the draft. And if you want the best analysis on the top prospects, you're going to want to listen to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, all of that stuff, full coverage of March Madness as it wraps up 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today. Follow Locked On NBA Draft. Marcus Smart was a real roller coaster ride. in this game. He went from highs to lows to super high to super low. It was just an unbelievable ride on Marcus Smart Mountain in this game. Again, he didn't hit a single shot from three, but every time he drove, it felt great. And he was six of 15 overall, 6 of 9 on his twos, 0 of 6 from three. Now, throughout the game, Marcus Smart, you could just tell something was off. And I know that a couple days ago, last week, Marcus Smart hinted at some off-the-court stuff. And he said, quote, "There's some games that are tougher than others for certain guys individually because, like I said, in their personal life, individual life, we've got a lot going on. I think a lot of people, including fans, media, and just everybody, forgets that we're humans." So he says some games are tougher than others for certain guys. And at first I thought, geez, I wonder which guys he's talking about. And maybe he's talking about himself. Because this game that we saw from Marcus Smart is the type of game that we would normally see before a few years ago when he hurt his hand in LA, punching that framed, whatever, they said a photo in his hotel room. This type of game that we saw from him here is, I can totally see a story coming out of this that, oh yeah, after the game, Marcus Smart went into the locker room and, you know, threw a chair through a locker or something like that. Which, unfortunately, those of us who would be in position to see something like that, we're not, because everything's on Zoom because of the way things are. So a lot of things I'm sure are happening in the locker room behind the scenes that normally a reporter would be able to say, like, oh, hey, that doesn't sound right, or that doesn't look right, or this is out of place, and starts to ask questions and check on sources and say, hey, what's going on here? So what Marcus Smart looked like, the body language, is like the mistakes that he was making were just uncharacteristic. And I know some people will, they don't, Marcus Smart's not, I don't want to say polarizing, but there are certainly people, a fair share of Marcus Smart detractors will say, that don't appreciate some of the nuance to his game, the winning plays, quote unquote. And in the past, a game like this, you might have heard Brad Stevens say, hey, look, you'd live with some of this to get the rest of it. You know, like, we've heard that a million times from Brad Stevens. But the capper to me, like, the third quarter. So the Celtics are down 4. If you didn't see this play, search for it. I put it on my story in Boston Sports Journal, my game story. The Celtics are down 4 and surging a little bit because the lead had grown to double digits. And they've cut this lead. Peyton Pritchard had just made this great play, this diving play to try to secure a loose ball. He ends up getting a jump ball, and because it was still the Pelicans' possession, it's 0.3 on the clock, on the shot clock. So, you know, jump ball takes a couple seconds, you know. Originally, like, Evan Fournier was trying to jump again, and they had to, like, move guys around, so it doesn't happen right away. But Marcus Smart very clearly has a brain fart. Very, very clearly has a just complete lack of awareness, because he looks at the clock and he sees 0.3, and it very, very clearly he says, oh, as soon as we get it, I gotta shoot. But he doesn't realize, it doesn't dawn on him that we just played defense. So they get the tip and he just chucks it down court. And it's like, wait a minute, what happened there? And not only that, like, the ref threw the ball up and nobody jumped. So he picked the ball up and threw it up again. Like, wait a minute. Were you even supposed to pick that ball up? Like, nobody jumped, but were you convinced that you didn't let them know? So what, we got a do-over? And then Brandon Ingram didn't jump either anyway. So they were conceding the jump ball to the Celtics because of the point three. They're like, we're not going to get a shot off. So whatever, just take the possession. We're fine. And then Smart just chucks it. And then afterwards, he's arguing with Kemba Walker. He's arguing. Like, Marcus, like, you know what the deal is here. It just, the fact that he was even arguing that was a sign that his head wasn't there. And then what does he do? So the Pelicans get the ball. They come on down. They hit a three. Smart now is caught up in his emotions. Just caught up in the moment. This is not thinking things through. This is not moving on to the next play. This is not making the next right play, right? The Brad Stevens Kaizen process over results. Put the mistakes behind you and move forward. That's not what this was. Smart gets the ball, takes an ill-advised three-pointer. It misses. New Orleans comes down. Smart gets cut backdoor. Someone backdoor cuts Marcus Smart again, and it's a mini five-point run. So now instead of down four with the ball and a chance to cut it to two, maybe one, in a blink, you're down nine again. And it's just that's a crusher. That's the turning point of this game, because the Celtics now fall behind by like 17 points. That gives that little turnaround. They crushed their own momentum. They stopped their own forward progress. It's like getting to the goal line and taking a knee, but you still need to score, right? Like they really, and Marcus Smart really just, it was a horrible mistake. But then later, the Celtics start to come back. And it's because Marcus Smart drives, gets a layup, draws a charge, and then comes down and gets an offensive rebound, gets it over to, I think it was to Jason Tatum, and Tatum scores. Like, Marcus Smart all of a sudden was the reason for the collapse and the reason or a central reason for the comeback. And you're like, this is live and die by Marcus Smart. And then when the Celtics, it felt like it was clear that, okay, we're going to fall short. Smart, still fuming over something, decides that he's going to say the magic word to an official. Like, that official gave him a tech and tossed him right away. So whatever Marcus Smart said, he got his money's worth right away, because it wasn't two technicals. It was one technical and an ejection. So whatever Marcus Smart said, it was exactly what you're not supposed to say. And I think he knew it, and I think he just wanted to get the hell out of there. So this isn't, I mean, I was going to say, this isn't who Marcus Smart is, but it is in a way. And this raises now the question of what's going on with Marcus Smart. Like I said before, is something off the court part of the problem? If it is, then I hope that gets solved, whatever it is. If it's not, then I want to know if what we're seeing from Marcus Smart this season, because we're seeing kind of a regression this season. Is this real, or is this the function of this season is weird and everybody's falling into bad habits? Like, literally, this, what happens, and I've said this before on the podcast, when you are tired, when you are at your worst, when you're at your most fatigued and you're just spent, totally spent, what do? Everyone falls back on their vices, their worst habits. So are you a generally kind of lazy person who finds motivation every day and you do good things, but your default is always going to be, I would much rather sit on my ass? And what do? You have no motivation to go work out. You just sit on your ass and do nothing. Do you like a drink? Well, when you're at your worst, maybe you have a few drinks. Or do you stress eat? Maybe you eat a bunch of bad stuff. Like, whatever our worst habits are, when we are feeling our worst, we like to go to those habits all the time because they're easy. It's comfortable. It feels good. You know, whatever reason. So, Jason Tatum, mid-range shots, fadeaways. When things aren't going great, you get to your bad habit, and that's his bad habit. Marcus Smart, when you're trying so hard to break out of certain things, well, you know what? Marcus Smart says, I don't have it in me right now to hunt better shots, to turn down a good shot for a great shot. You know how they say? And if he's not willing to do that, if he's not able to do that, is that a function of, is he actually regressing, or is this season just beating the hell out of him and he's just getting back into bad habits? And can he break those bad habits again under normal circumstances? It's an important question, because if he's just falling back into bad habits and under better circumstances he can be better, then the reaction isn't going to be, we need to trade Marcus Smart. It's going to be, all right, let's get through this. Let's find a way to find our heads. Let's get through this season and then, you know, move forward however we need to be, move forward appropriately. But whatever it is, it just needs to be fixed all across the board. Guys need to get out of their bad habits. And we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Obviously, I'm realizing I've gone through this whole podcast. I haven't mentioned that Jaylen Brown missed the game because of a sore hip. So that's why if you were listening without, you're like, what happened to Jaylen Brown? Why haven't you mentioned Jaylen Brown once? That's why. He didn't play. Shemi Ojeleye didn't play. Celtics are shorthanded. And, I mean, this was a winnable game, but understandable that this was always going to be a tough game. This was always going to be a tough game. And they lost. They were shorthanded. They lost. Zion's awesome. Pelicans aren't bad. But not many more opportunities for losses like this. The Celtics got to get this going. The Dallas game now looms large. Still only one game out of fourth, but you're running out of time. You're really running out of time. I'll be talking about it here all week long, Monday through Friday, here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. So make sure you are subscribed and you'll get this directly to your device Monday through Friday. You regular listeners, I hope you enjoy the show enough to give it a 5-star rating and a good written review. And of course, please share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.